We're here with the executive director of Food First. That's Eric Holt Jimenez, and it's foodfirst.org. And we're here at the Justice Begins with Seeds Conference in Seattle 2013. And Eric, your talk really intrigued me. There was the one main point about the Svalbard seed vault, the Doomsday seed vault in Norway. And I know that that was something years ago that got a lot of interest. And what you said is essentially that it might not even work. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Right. Well, I think it's very well intentioned, because these resources are so important to our survival as a species. But the problem with them is that when you hold this genetic diversity, all this material, in vitro, you know, in a freezer somewhere, several things happen. One, the seed rots over time, no matter how cold it is. And so you have to take it out and replant it and reharvest it. So if you're talking about 500,000 varieties, which is what they're hoping to put in the vault, that's a tremendous amount of work. So who's going to do that work, right? The other problem is, who owns that seed? Basically, this has been historically a mechanism for the privatization of genetic material. This is how the Green Revolution was built, by privatizing the genetic material which before had belonged to the commons, the agricultural commons of the world's peasantry. And the third problem is that we need the diversity in the field, not in the refrigerator. Because when it's in the refrigerator, it gets repackaged and then sold back to the world's farmers. And what has happened is that we've lost over 70% of our agrobiological diversity in the process. So in the Philippines, where you had at one time over 2,000 varieties of rice planted in a whole array of different agroecosystems, an incredibly resilient mosaic of agriculture, which is very important when we think about climate change. Now you have, you know, maybe 3-4 varieties of rice at best. Because it's really these large seed vaults are one of the mechanisms of the corporate food regime and the privatization of genetic resources. It's one of the tools that are used. So I think you have to look behind the rhetoric about saving the world and see what's really at work. If we're really serious about building our resilience to climate change, if we're really serious about conserving agrobiodiversity and restoring biodiversity to the planet, then what we really need are healthy farming systems and that are agroecologically managed, right? So we need a very healthy peasantry. We have a very big peasantry, over 1 billion peasants, where a lot of this genetic material is kept in vivo, where it continues to develop and adapt on its own through the management modifications, the agroecological management modifications, which the peasants do. But the peasants aren't doing well, right? They don't have schools, they don't have water, they don't have roads, they don't have health, education, and welfare. And they also basically are paid very poorly for their products. And they don't have enough land. We need land reform. So we need to improve the conditions in the countryside so that the culture of agrobiodiversity, which is held in the peasantry and in the family farm sector, can survive. That is really the only way that we can ensure the agrobiodiversity and the conservation of our genetic resources in the future.
I just love the idea of putting that difference between in vivo and in vitro, and the idea that you could extrapolate that out to any other areas of your life and work. The idea that you can't just leave it on a shelf, that you have to work it, that it must be constantly shared and grown and regrown and shared. I guess the idea that, you know, a couple of years ago when there was the fear of this seed vault, basically the fear being, oh, well, the elites are occulting, hiding the knowledge, the food, all of those things, giving us the fake the idea that, oh, they're ruining our world, but oh, they're going to be okay because they're saving up and storing all these seeds for themselves later.
Well, actually, they won't be okay because...
That's why I found this so intriguing.
They can't save the knowledge. I mean, every seed has been developed over the course of millennia, right, through the knowledge of agroecosystems by the farmers themselves. So just saving the seed itself without saving the knowledge is pointless. And one can't save the knowledge because the knowledge is so vast. Even around just a handful of seeds, the knowledge is much too much for one single farmer. It's even too much for an extended family. It's even too much for a village. You really need a culture. You need a vibrant peasant and indigenous culture in order to save the knowledge for agrobiodiversity. And no, you won't find that in a refrigerator.
All right. That's saving the knowledge. Eric Holt Jimenez of foodfirst.org. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.